just opened the proper somewhere. It's all good, right? But I'll get there. So, like I said, it's not going to be very long, but I hope something I say at least can help somebody in here. Sorry, I had a brother. My phone's going off. I have a brother just getting engaged today, so right before church. So, anyways. All right, so I'm going to talk about Jonah first of all. So Jonah, if, for those who know the story, what happened to Jonah? Jonah, God told Jonah, hey, I want you to go to Nineveh, right? And Jonah, what did he do? He got in a boat, and he started headed to where, who knows? Tarshish, right? Tarshish. And all of a sudden, was that where God wanted him? No, it wasn't. And so God sends a storm, and they throw Jonah over. A whale swallows him. And I'm sure in the back of Jonah's mind, he's like, well, regardless, I don't have to go to Nineveh. The whale's going to eat me. God had other plans, and at the end, the whale spit Jonah out, and Jonah went to do what God had originally told him. The difference was, even though Jonah didn't care for the Ninevites, he did wrong, and then he went back and did what God wanted him to do. Now let's look at Peter in the Bible. Peter denied Jesus how many times? Who knows? Three times. The Bible says that Jesus said, when the cock crows thrice, that you will know you denied me. And Jesus was literally going through probably the worst time of his life. And just think about this, that Jesus, he did not want to do this. Jesus even told God, he said, I don't want to go to the cross. But he said, but if it's for your will, I will. And so Jesus going through a harsh time when they said, you were with Jesus. And Peter's like, no, I wasn't. He was afraid, right? Jesus is about to be crucified. That has been prophesied in the Bible. And Jesus has been talking about to the disciples. And then all of a sudden he realized, if they think I'm with him, they're going to kill me. He feared for his life. And so Peter denied Jesus three times and realized, and he went away and wept. And afterwards, when he was talking to Jesus, in John 21:17, it says, he says unto him the third time, this Jesus talking to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus unto him, feed my sheep. And later on, Peter went and preached the gospel and saw many people saved. And not just that, and according to the book of Fox's Book of Martyrs, Peter, from A, denying Christ because he was afraid of death, went on to die, being crucified for him. Now I want to ask you another thing. Imagine David. Imagine we've all heard the story of David, right? Imagine this. David killed Goliath, right? But when you think more about it, think of it, I guess I thought about it this way. How did David know he could kill Goliath? David knew he could kill Goliath because of these aspects. He had already been, so killing Goliath happened, I believe, in 1 Samuel chapter 17. But before that, David went through chapter 16. In chapter 16, even before that, he had mentioned how he had killed a lion and a bear. Now, God had already anointed David to be king, meaning David was going to be the next king of Israel. And David knew that. And when David goes and shows up to the battlefield, guess what happens? He hears these voices of Goliath. And what did he hear? He heard someone say, you know, he heard Goliath saying, you know, come, send a man to fight with me, right? And he said, if he kills me, we'll be your servants. If you kill us, you be our servants. Sorry, if we kill you, you be our servants. And so imagine you walk in the battlefield, no one wants to fight this beast. Nobody wants to fight this Goliath, right? This giant. And when he walks, imagine as you walk into the field, you're not the most qualified to fight, you're not supposed to be there. And when he gets there, knowing this, he was already anointed king. David knows this. And so guess what? If they were to fight and lose, I want to tell you guys something, okay? First of all, nobody was willing to fight for their freedom. And guess what? You can't be a king if you're servants to your enemies. And that's exactly what the Goliath was saying. He said, if we kill you, you're servants. So really, David, knowing this, he knew that this had to be him. And not just that, this was also a stepping stone for his throne to come. Once again, if he's going to be king, he knew he needed to step up. Then he knew God was to take care of him. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:16, it says, for a just man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked fall into mischief. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you have ever failed? Just raise your hands. Anything you're out. Okay, I failed, okay? And if you haven't failed, you probably have, but guess what? You will fail again. And you'll fail again, and you'll fail again, and you'll keep failing. That's just part of life. But what matters is when you get up and keep going. Take your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 24, verse 17. Proverbs 24, verse 17 and 18. After that, so after it says, for a just man falls seven times, it rises up again. It says, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Then it says, rejoice not when thy enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it and displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. So imagine this. We think of enemies, right? You might think of a Goliath. You might think of your neighbor, the bully, right, across the kill. Or let's say in your school there's a bully. But sometimes the enemy in our lives, believe it or not, sometimes the enemy in our lives is another Christian. Truth be told, just because you're a Christian does not mean you're not an enemy of someone else. No one here is perfect. So there might be people in my life to I am the Goliath in their life. There might be people in your life to you're the bad guy in their life. And as we have enemies in our life, guess what? God will judge the unrighteous. But the Bible says in verse 17, rejoice not when that enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. When your enemy falls, the Bible says don't be happy. And guess what? Like I said, they could be a Christian. Guess what? You fall. They fall. And in the verse goes on to say, lest the Lord see it and it displease him and he turn his wrath away from him. So don't get me wrong. If you have someone you don't like in your life and they start to stumble, God starts judging them, right? All of a sudden, what's the first thing? Maybe as a flesh part, we're like, good. You're happy, right? If you see the bully start getting bullied back, all of a sudden you see the unjust start being hit on and what's the attack, naturally we're like, good. Victory, right? But God says if you think good towards that, God says, I'll take it away. Now, let's be honest. If your enemies are being punched, do you want God to take that away? I mean, flesh side, probably not. But just understand this. Every person, enemy or not, we all stumble. We all fall. And we all have our failures in life. When you learn and grow from your past in wisdom and faith, your future becomes better. Understand this. When you do fall, when you do make mistakes, when you do sin, guess what? That's an opportunity to get up. That's an opportunity to learn. That's an opportunity to become better. And guess what? It's not just becoming better for yourself. You're becoming better for yourself, for your family, for your future wife, or for your current wife, for your husband. You'd be better, guess what? In the work and the will of God. But when you fall, if you don't learn from it, then you're not bettering yourself. A wise man doesn't just hear or see, he will learn. Go to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. That means he takes correction. He adjusts his path and moves differently the next time. Once again, life is about learning. Once you get out of high school, it's not when you stop learning. That's what I used to think, and I was excited. Like, once I'm out of high school, then I went to college. Once I'm out of college, I don't have to learn anymore. And guess what? If when you leave high school or college, if you stop learning, you're not going to get anywhere in life. And guess what? God can't really teach you anything. You can't really be, I guess, as useful for God, because God's all about learning. God's all about growing and becoming better. And who you are when you leave school is not who you need to be in the future. You need to become better. But it's stepping stones. If you keep making the same mistakes over and over, as I know I have and many others have, it's not always the lack of knowledge. Sometimes it's just a refusal to apply what you've learned from the past. So, for example, with a house that went, it burned and whatnot, and obviously we had to move, one thing I've learned very quickly is, at the time, I didn't get renter's insurance. And that would, for those who know, that would have helped. If anything is damaged, it could be covered, all that, it would have been great. It would have helped us financially. Everything would have been a little bit easier for us. But guess what? I didn't get it. So now that we're at a new place, guess what I'm going to get? I'm going to get renter's insurance. And you know why? Because I learned I made a mistake back here. And guess what? That mistake not just affects me, it affects my wife. But guess what? Because I made a mistake back there, I'm going to use the wisdom. Hey, I messed up. Oh, it's okay. I'm going to get up. And guess what? When I go here, I'm going to make sure I don't make that mistake again. When God gives you chances to grow, not chances to stay the same. That's our decision to stay the same if we don't grow. So when you fall, don't just regret. Don't get me wrong, we all have regrets, right? Don't just regret. Study it. Learn from it. Become better because of it. Figure out what led you there. What led you to what was your stumbling block? What led you to fall, to make the mistake? Change your response the next time and move forward with more wisdom and be wiser. The goal is not to stay the same person who made the mistake back then, but be more like Jesus every step. I'm not saying Jesus was perfect, and we ought to be as best we can to be like Jesus. But guess what? It's not possible. I cannot be Jesus. I cannot be, I would say, even close to Jesus. But guess what? I'm going to try to be closer to Jesus. And when you take the principles that of the Bible and what life throws at you, every day you can become better. Every day you can become smarter. Every day you can know the Bible better. Every day you can be a better person, be a better Christian. And every day you do that is one step closer to being like Jesus. Now, the question is, how do we do that? Go to your Bibles to Proverbs 28, verse 13. Proverbs 28:13. It says, "He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but who confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy." That's saying, when we mess up, you not only need to learn how to be better, but also forsake, get away from that sin, run from it, and also do better. Sometimes an environment that when you go in is a bad influence on you. Whether it could be at work, it could be at your house, it could be at school, but to where all of a sudden you realize, hey, I need to get away from the things to where I know I can't handle. I need to go away from the things that are making me a worse person. And I have a place in my life I know I can go right now, and I'm not going to come out better. And I need to learn to stay away from that. And when I do mess up, all of a sudden if I see something, hear something, or something to where it makes me push me to do wrong, I need to stay away from that. And I need to grow. Once again, one thing I've learned about life is there's a lot of ups and there's a lot of downs. And there will always be more ups if you learn from the downs. But as long as you don't learn from what happens in life and from what God allows you to go through, you're going to have more downs than you really should. And once again, when that happens, you can't be the person you need to be for yourself. You can't be who you need to be for God. You can't be who you need to be for your family to the best you can be. You can't be who for your wife, for your husband. And so I got a test. I know some of the kids did it. I need two helpers. Can I get the two Glosser boys? Can you guys help me real quick? I'm going to give everyone a piece of paper. Once again, if you're in my class Thursday, you guys know this. I'm going to give you guys all a piece of paper. Hold on to this, and we're going to do a test real quick. All right, hand one to everybody, okay? And then, Z, can you come here and hand out a pen to everybody? If you have a pen, I don't think I have enough pens for everybody. These are pastor's pens, but if you have one, just let him know. And then can you give one to everyone who doesn't have one? And then these pens are mine, so put them back on the information desk once you're done with them. All right, we're gonna do a quiz real quick. I'm asking some questions you probably don't know. All right, once everyone has a piece of paper and a pen, all right, is everybody ready? Got it. Thank you. I'm gonna do 10 questions. It's gonna be hard. You're gonna win. Okay. All right, let's see about that. All right, thank you. All right, first question. Once again, no cheating, no using your phone, okay? No cheating at all, no helping each other out. Yes, sir.
Is this anonymous?
Unanimous?
Do you sign
your name to this? I'm going to trust you to hold your and grade your own paper. Okay, so we'll see what kind of Holy Spirit you got when it comes to cheating. No, I'm just kidding. All right, first question. What is the largest species of shark in the world? Don't look at each other's papers. Just answer. If you don't know, that's okay. I'm expecting you guys to not know most of these. So, yes, sir. Let's just say current day. Okay. Yeah. No, look at each other's papers, okay? Number two, next question. Which animal has the strongest bite force of any living land animal? Which animal has the strongest bite force of any living land animal? And once again, if you don't know it, that's okay. That's okay. I'm hoping you'll know it. Yes, sir.
Are we going
to just take a guess, okay? All right, everyone got that? If you don't know it, that's okay. If you don't know it, that's okay. That's part of it. Number three. What is the only mammal that lays eggs?
There's two.
Okay, write, but if there's two, write them both. Okay, if there's two, write them both. I ChatGPT this answer, so. Okay, shh, it's okay. All right, next question, you ready? Hey, listen, by the way, you're not gonna know all the answers. You probably won't know some of them, that's okay. That's part of the test. Here's next one, which animal? All right, which animal can survive without water longer than a camel? What? What animal can survive longer without water than a camel? There's an animal that can do that? There is. All right, next question. You ready? Okay, I'm sorry. Don't be looking these up, Ms. Shante. All right, next question. What bird is known for its intelligence and ability to use tools? No, Ms. Shante, don't be cheating over here. Bird, yes, ma'am. What bird is known for its intelligence and ability to use tools? Use tools. All right, next question. Which sea creature is considered biologically immortal because it can revert to an earlier life stage? Which sea creature is considered biologically immortal because it can revert to an earlier life stage? Once again, this is new to me, okay? That's the whole point. Just give Ms. Shante, give me a chance, okay? All right, if you don't know it, it's okay. You don't know it. All right, next question. What is the fastest land animal in the world? What is the fastest land animal in the world? All right, next question. Which animal? I'm sorry, Ms. Shante and Ms. Deborah. Okay, which animal has the longest lifespan of any mammal? Says an animal. Is animal of any mammal. Which animal has the longest lifespan of any mammal? Next question. We got two more left. Bear with me. What is the largest species of penguins? What is the largest species of penguin? What is the largest species of penguin? All right, and last question. Once again, if you don't know it, you don't know it. It's okay. All right, which animal has fingerprints so unique that they can be used in place of human fingerprints? Which animal has fingerprints so unique that they can use, yes, they can use in place of human fingerprints? And for instance, whatever that is. All right. If you did your best, okay, so everyone, take your pens, put them down, no cheating. Everyone hold your paper up so I know you're not cheating. I'm gonna go over the answers. No cheating, no writing anything down. All right, so listen up, no writing the answers. Ms. Shante, bear with me, okay? No writing the answers, you'll see why in a second. No, okay, no, it's okay, I'm just bear with me. Okay, here it goes. Number one, I'm just going over it quickly. So just you have to hear it. Know if you got it right or wrong. It's okay. Number one is the whale shark. Whale shark. Number two is the saltwater crocodile. Okay, let me go over real quick. Number one, everyone wait real quick. Number one, I'm going to read a question, give the answer. I'm going to go through these fast. So what is the largest species of shark in the world? The whale shark. Number two, which animal has the strongest biforce of any living land animal? The saltwater crocodile. Number three, what is the only... Crocodile's going both. Yeah, Ms. Deborah. Bear with me. All right, number three, what is the only mammal that lays eggs? Is the platypus? Which, hey guys, soon I get over this, we're out of church. All right, which animal can survive without water longer than the camel? The kangaroo rat. What bird is known for its intelligence and ability to use tools? The crow. Which sea creature is considered biologically immortal because it can revert to an earlier life stage? The jellyfish. Which is the fastest land animal in the world? The cheetah. Which animal has the longest lifespan of any mammal? The bowhead whale. What is the largest species of penguin? The emperor penguin. Last one, which animal has fingerprints so unique that they can be used in place of human fingerprints? And for instance, the koala. Koala. K-O-A-L-A. However, koala, my bad. All right, everyone, take your papers, turn them around. Turn them around except Zeke. All right, I'm gonna ask you a few more questions. I'm gonna go through this fast. If you don't have time, you don't have time, just bear with me, okay? Don't cheat. Here goes. Number one, what is the largest species of shark in the world? All right. Number two, what is the largest species of shark in the world? Number two, like I said, just write fast, scribble, whatever. Which animal has the strongest bite force of any living land animal? Number three, what is the only mammal that can lay eggs? Number four, what animal can survive without water longer than a camel? Number five, what bird is known for its intelligence and ability to use tools? Number six, which sea creature is considered biologically immortal because it can revert to an earlier life stage? Bless you. Number seven, what is the fastest land animal in the world? Number eight, which animal has the longest lifespan of any mammal? Number nine, what is the largest species of penguin? And number 10, which animal has fingerprints so unique that they can be used in place of human fingerprints in forensics? All right, here we go. I'm gonna go over them real quick. I'm gonna go over really fast. I'm not gonna read the question. I'm just gonna give the answer. Number one is the whale shark. And if you got it, just put a check mark next to it. Number two is the saltwater crocodile. Number three is the platypus. Number four is the kangaroo rat. Number five is the crow. Number six is the jellyfish. Number seven, the cheetah. Number eight, the bowhead whale. Number nine, emperor penguin. And number 10 was the, how did you guys say that? Thank you. All right, so let me ask you real quick. Raise your hand if you got all of them right. And I'm not expecting all you go. Okay, who got all of them right? Okay, a couple of you. Who got nine of them right? Eight, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. All right, let me ask you this question. How many of you did worse or the same as you did the first time? How many did worse or same? Okay, so it sounds like everyone did better the first time. The point of doing this is in the Christian life, when you go through trials, when you go through failures, when you go through hard times in life and in the world, the idea is this: when you go through the first time, if you come out with the same or worse, then you didn't grow. You didn't learn. And guess what? You will go through it again, and you will fail again. And guess what? You can consider yourself lazy or lack of character. So let me tell you this much. A few of you got 100% right. That's not, guess what? And that's great. you won't always get 100% right. But the idea is you get it better. And you do better, and you get a step closer to being closer like Jesus, to be better like Jesus. You get a step closer to being who you need to be, who God designed you, created you to be. And every day is a test. Every day is an opportunity to be one step closer, to be one little bit better. And every day, guess what? You will fail. You won't get them all right. You can do better. The idea is every day, do a little bit better. A little bit every day, be a little bit closer to Jesus. A little bit every day, be a better coworker. Every day, be a better Christian. Every day, be a better employee. Every day, be a better husband. Be a better wife. Be a better child. Be a better brother. Be a better sister. And every guess what? You will fail. But if you just give up, that's not how God intended it to be. And guess what? If you give up, God cannot use you if you just give up. And guess God will chasten you like he did Jonah. He will chasten you like he's done many, many people in the Bible. And that's why God's a good God. And guess what? Sometimes we hate it. Let's be honest. Sometimes when God's chasing us, we don't like it. Because if life was easy, it wouldn't really be life. And guess what? Do you want to know why when you take a Bible, people who are wealthy, you want to know why they get there? Because they work hard. They sacrifice. And sometimes we see them like, man, if I only had what they had, but they work for it. And they failed through the process of it. And it's steps, one step at a time. So I just want to encourage you guys, every day, be better. For God, for yourself, for your family, for your future. If you don't, you'll stay where you are. And guess what? God still loves you. And if you're going to heaven, praise the Lord. But God intended more. God wants more for you than just to go to heaven. God wants more for you than just basically, oh, I'm saved, you know, security, right? That's not what God wanted. God intended so much more in this world that he created. He did not create for the end of it to be evil. He created for you to prosper and to become better and to see more people saved. But it's hard to do that if you're not learning from what God gave you. So that's what I want to tell you guys today. Just every day, you're going to fail, and that's okay. I have a saying I tell my wife. We do say this all the time. A fail is only a fail when you don't learn from it the first time. And so if my house blows up and I didn't get renters insurance, that's on me, okay? But let me just say, be better every day. You're going to fail. It's okay. So let's pray, and we will be dismissed. All right, dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this day. Thank you for this evening. Thank you, Lord, for always taking care of us. I want to pray, Lord.